In this chapter, Krishna talks about the how one can understand which type of mode of nature he is currently associating with. Everyone should hear very carefully and understand where they're situated. These are the qualities that manifest when the mind is influenced by the mode of goodness, Subal. Mind and sense control. You can I don't think so. Anyway, one can see. These are the qualities that manifest when the mind is influenced by the mode of nature. Mind and sense control. Tolerance. Discrimination. Sticking to one's responsibilities. Subal. Truthfulness. Mercy. Careful study of past and future. Means, right? If we see something, I'll do that. We should think carefully what will happen. Oh, there's a nice girl. Let me marry her. What will happen then? You'll have to get money for the wedding. You'll have to have children. You'll have to work like a dog. Careful study of the past and future. In the past, did we do all that stuff? Were we happy? In the future, if I do it, will I be happy? So many movies we've seen in the past. If I see another movie, will I be happy, Subal? Satisfaction in any condition. Generosity. Renunciation of sense gratification. Faith in the spiritual master. Being embarrassed at improper action. Charity, simplicity, humbleness, satisfaction within oneself. These are qualities in the mode of goodness. How many of them did we get? Vijay, we won't even listen to any of them. These qualities are very favorable for devotion. These qualities in themselves are not devotion. They're a platform. Therefore, these are the mode of passion, material desire, great endeavor, pride and audacity, dissatisfaction even in gain, false pride, praying for material advancement, considering oneself different and better than others, sense gratification, rash eagerness to fight, a fondness for hearing oneself praised, the tendency to ridicule others. That's Vijay. Advertising one's own prowess and always justifying one's actions by one's strength and intelligence. These are qualities in the mode of passion. Intolerant anger. Stinginess. Speaking without scriptural authority. Violent hatred, living as a parasite, hypocrisy, chronic fatigue, quarrel, lamentation, delusion, unhappiness, depression, sleeping too much, false expectations, fear and laziness constitute the major qualities of the mode of ignorance. That we think we're so great devotees, how many qualities we have in the mode of goodness, how many in the mode of passion, how many in the mode of ignorance. Will I go through them again? One more time for Vijay. Intolerant anger, miserliness, speaking without scriptural authority, violent hatred, living as a parasite, hypocrisy, chronic fatigue, quarrel, lamentation, delusion, unhappiness, depression, sleeping too much, false expectations, fear and laziness. Actually, Vijay is none of it. So, the combination of three modes of nature is present in the mentality of I and mine. Therefore, Krishna talks about different activities, different times, different places, different associations in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Therefore, Krishna says the three modes of nature influence the living entity, but they never influence me. Manifesting within the mind, the modes of nature induce the living entity to become attached to material bodies and other created objects. In this way, the living entity is bound up. Therefore, how does Maya work? Through the mind. Therefore, the mind is controlled and kept in the mode of goodness. By following the instructions of the spiritual master and following the rules of Vaidhi Bhakti, the mind will always be in mode of goodness. And for the mode of goodness, one can step to the transcendental platform. We read that in the Bhagavatam, the first canto. Tadarajas tamobhavat kama loba hatasmatu. By the process of hearing and practicing Harikatha, the influence of Rajagun and Tamagun is dissipated, and Sudha Sattva Prasiddhiti. The living entity enters the mode of goodness. In the mode of goodness, he becomes happy, full of religious principles from then. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, from the platform of mode of goodness, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, the realization of the name, form, and qualities of Krishna become possible, not from any other platform. Therefore, the mode of goodness, the result is illumination. The person becomes pure and auspicious. The mode of goodness enables one to conquer passion and ignorance. That devotee becomes endowed with happiness, virtue, knowledge, and other good qualities. With the mode of passion, the mode of passion causes attachment, separatism. Oh, in the office they're not my friends, they're my enemies. Separate. He's my friend, he's my enemy. This is all generated by the mode of passion. It covers, in the mode of passion, a man begins to work hard to acquire prestige and good fortune. In the mode of passion, he experiences anxiety and struggle. Thus, the mode of ignorance is there. It covers one consciousness and makes one very foolish and dull, falling into constant lamentation and illusion. A person in the mode of ignorance sleeps excessively, indulges in false dreams, and displays hatred and violence towards others. Can I? Don't do that, please. Otherwise, I'll display hatred and violence towards you. Therefore, Krishna says, you should discern the mode of passion by its symptoms, a distortion of intelligence because of too much activity. Some in the mode of passion, they're running around the temple 24 hours a day, but sit and chant for 5 minutes, cannot. Guru Maharaj says there are people, they can cook for the whole day, they can speak Harikatha for the whole day, but sit and chant 2 rounds of Harinam, they cannot do. Disgraceful. When the mode of passion is there, there is an inability to separate these senses from their objects, thus, which leads to perplexity of the mind. Therefore, now Krishna talks about very nice things. When the mode of goodness is there, the strength of the demigods increases. When the mode of passion is there, the strength of the human beings increases. And the mode of ignorance, the strength of the demons increases. Therefore, those who leave the world in the mode of goodness go to the world of the demigods. Those who leave in the mode of passion take birth again as human beings. And those who leave in the mode of ignorance transcend, goes to the lower species. In the mode of ignorance, those persons dedicated to Vedic culture are elevated to the mode of goodness and from there to higher and higher positions. The mode of ignorance, on the other hand, forces one to fall headfirst into lower and lower births and then to hell. Okay, now, one who leaves in the mode of goodness goes up, one who remains in the mode of passion stays here, and one of the mode of ignorance descends to the lower species, but one who is in the transcendental platform, he goes to the supreme destination, to Krishna. Work performed as an offering to me without desiring the fruit is work in the mode of goodness. Work with a desire to enjoy the fruit is work in the mode of passion. And work impelled by violence and envy is work in the mode of goodness. But work done for me is nirguna. Absolute knowledge is in the mode of goodness. Knowledge based on duality is knowledge in the mode of passion. And foolish materialistic knowledge is in the mode of goodness. But knowledge based upon me, Uddhav, is transcendental. Residence in the forest is in the mode of goodness. Residence in Venice Beach is in the mode of passion. Residence in a gambling house or brothel is residence in the mode of passion. But Arjuna, ignorance. But Uddhav, living where I live, is transcendental. A worker free from attachment is a worker in the mode of goodness. A worker blinded by personal desires in the mode of passion. A worker who doesn't know right from wrong is a worker in the mode of ignorance. But Arjuna, Uddhav, a worker who takes shelter of me is a worker in transcendence. Faith directed towards spiritual life is faith in the mode of goodness. Faith rooted in fruitive work is work in the faith in the mode of passion. Faith residing in irreligious activities, Satan worship, black magic, etc., death metal, is faith in the mode of ignorance, but faith in my devotional service is transcendental. Food that is wholesome, obtained without difficulty, is pure, that is in the mode of goodness. Food that gives immediate happiness to the senses, like pizza, is in the mode of passion. Food that is unclean and causes distress is the mode of ignorance, but food offered to me is transcendental. Happiness that comes from the self is happiness in the mode of goodness. Happiness based on sense gratification is in the mode of passion. Happiness based on delusion and degradation is a mode of ignorance, but happiness directed towards me is transcendental. Therefore, Krishna says material substance, place, result, time, knowledge, work, performer of work, faith, state of consciousness, species of life, and destination after death are all based on the modes of nature. In the Gita, Krishna also discusses, but not to such a great depth as in this Bhagavatam. Therefore, Uddhav, those who achieve the human form of life must endeavor very strongly to come and stay in the mode of goodness. Being fixed in devotional service, the sage should then also conquer the material mode of goodness by indifference towards everything else. Thus pacified within their mind, the spirit soul, free from all modes of nature, give up the very cause of a conditional life, which is forgetfulness of Krishna, and thus they attain me. That we should examine ourselves very carefully. How much I'm influenced by ignorance, how much I'm influenced by passion, how much I'm influenced by goodness. And by taking a measurement of that, we can understand how many anattas we have. Therefore, very difficult to live in the temple because temple is a complete life of sattva-gun. Therefore, very hard to conquer the modes of nature. Devihiya sagunami. Krishna says these three modes of nature are my divine potency, maya, duratya, very difficult to overcome. Only one who has surrendered to me can overcome them. Only one who surrenders to the spiritual master. Deva Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki. Descriptions of Varnashram. Very interesting. Therefore, Krishna has designed the Varnashram system to bring us to the mode of goodness and to keep us there. Therefore, Brahmachari becomes afflicted by the mode of passion. What happens to them? Become married. Therefore, generally, Grihastha life is a very difficult life of struggle and anxiety in the mode of passion. When one becomes free from that by constantly following the instructions of the spiritual master, detachment comes. They can enter vanaprastha. Then when complete detachment comes, they can enter the mode, they can enter sannyas. Therefore, Krishna's description of the vanashram system. Therefore, Krishna has described, organized this vanashram system to keep us in the mode of goodness, trying. Most of us have a mixed amount, no one is completely in the mode of goodness or passion or ignorance. Sometimes there is, one is predominant over the other. Sometimes we're in tamagun on a bad day. Sometimes sattvagun is there, sometimes rajagun is there. There is a constant pull between the different modes of nature. It's very difficult to remain situated always in the platform of sattvagun. Therefore, Krishna says, in Satyuga, there were no Varnashram system because everyone was Paramahamsa. But in Treta Yuga, in Treta Yuga, then the four social orders were manifested. That time in Treta Yuga, there was predominance of Sattvagun, but some Kshatriyas were there, many Brahmanas and Kshatriyas were there. So, persons according to which mode of nature is predominating in their life, those persons will be situated in different varanas. Those persons in whom sattvaguna is predominating will be brahmanas. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, cleanliness, satisfaction, tolerance, simple straightforwardness, devotion to me, mercy and truthfulness are the nature of the qualities of a brahman. Dynamic power, bodily strength, determination, heroism, tolerance, generosity, great endeavor, steadiness, devotion to the brahmanas and leadership are the qualities of a kshatriya. Faith in the Vedas, dedication to charity, freedom from hypocrisy, service to the brahmanas, and perpetually desiring to accumulate more money are the quality of a vaishya in the mode of passion. Service without duplicity to the brahmanas, cows and demigods, and other worshipable superiors, and satisfaction with whatever income one has, these are the qualities of the sudras. We always say sudras, but who is a real sudra? Show me any of these people in Kali Yuga. And then, the qualities of those who are outside the varnashram, dirtiness. Isn't it? I saw that boy's ashram there looks like a pigsty. Can imagine how you can live like that? It's disgrace. These are not the qualities of brahmanas. Most of you are second initiation by Gurudev. It should be clean, at least, minimum. This should be able to walk through the bathroom without fighting through the piles of underwear that are hanging everywhere. Dirtiness, dishonesty, thievery, faithlessness, useless quarrel, lust, anger, and hankering. Sounds like my family motto. Constitute the nature of those who are in the lowest position outside the Varnashram system. If we can understand, we say, oh, the sudras, but who is a real sudra? Most persons are completely outside the Varnashram, not by birth, but by qualities. Therefore, Krishna disguised, he now gives description of the ashram. If you want to be brahmachari, be proper brahmachari. If you want to be grihastha, be ideal grihastha, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Grihagana shikshaka, nyasikula nayaka. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grihastha was perfect, ideal grihastha. Every day Mahaprabhu, despite his poverty, he would invite at least 10 or 15 brahmacharis or sannyasis for lunch. Even Sachimata would think how he can feed them. Therefore Nimai would run behind the house and bring back 20 grams of gold and give to Mother Sachi. Mother Sachi was too afraid to ask where you got it from. Therefore Mahaprabhu, despite being poverty-stricken, ideal grihastha. If you want to be a grihastha, then follow like Nimai. Every day they would engage in worship of the deity, congregational chanting of the holy name. Grihastha ashram is not an obstacle to spiritual life if you do it properly. Most of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates were grihasthas. There's no difference between a grihastha and a sannyasi. Who is superior? One who does bhajan, that person is superior. What is the use of taking sannyasi if you're not doing bhajan? Not following the instruction of spiritual master, completely useless. What's the use? Therefore, there's no difference between grihastha and sannyasi. What's important is doing bhajan. But still here, if you're going to do anything, do it properly. Therefore, Krishna describes the ashram and the varanas. Therefore, he begins with brahmachari. And after this, we'll finish. Tonight, we'll discuss 12th canto. A brahmachari should dress with a belt of straw and deerskin. He should wear matted hair, carry a rod and water pot, always be decorated with a sacred thread and the tulsi beads. He should never accept a luxurious or sensuous sitting place. He should not unnecessarily polish his teeth, nor should he bleach and iron his clothes. A brahmachari should always remain silent while eating, attending sacrificial performances, chanting japa or passing stool. The brahmachari should not cut his nails and hair, including the armpit and bodily hair. A brahmachari should never pass semen. Of course, that goes without saying. Brahmachari should always worship the spiritual master, the cows, the guru. He should perform worship at sunrise and sunset. Without speaking, he must always chant silently the Gayatri mantras. Acharimam vijaniyam navamanyate karichit namati buddha sutana savadeva maya guru. One should know the guru as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man. He is a representative of all the demigods. While engaged in the serving the spiritual master, one should remain as a humble servant. When the guru is walking, the servant should walk behind. When the guru lies down to sleep, the servant should also lie down nearby. Guru Maharaj says, ideal guru sevak will sleep after guru has taken rest and will rise before the guru has taken rest. When the guru has awakened, the servant should sit near him, massaging his feet. When the guru is sitting down in the asana, the servant should stand nearby with folded hands, awaiting the instruction of the guru. In this way, one should worship the spiritual master. Until the spiritual master has completed his Vedic education, he must remain engaged in the ashram of the spiritual master. I don't know why the brahmacharis are running there completely independently. They're never taking in any instruction from Gurudev. Once you go and surrender to Gurudev, Gurudev, where do you want me? How I can serve you? But no one cares for that. Everyone, I'll go here, I'll go here, I'll go here. That's why one, after so many years, despite having an Uttam Bhagavad as a guru, we still have not got any bhakti whatsoever. Therefore, you want to be brahmachari, do it properly, surrender, take the instruction of the spiritual master. Wherever he puts you, that's perfect for you. We're not even taking we take instruction from everyone else, but we never ask Gurudev, what do you want? Oh, Prabhuji says this, he said this, he said this. What does Gurudev want for you? Who cares? Therefore, you always make sure we stay very far away from Guru. If I go near Guru, he may give me some instruction that will impede my sense gratification. We try and have a relation with everyone, but we never make relationship with the bona fide spiritual master. What's the use of making relationship to every single brahmachari on the planet, but you never make relationship with the Guru? Anyway, you get what you want, you get what you deserve. Thus, Krishna said, the brahmachari living in the ashram of the Guru, he will become as bright as fire. Those who are not married, sannyasis, vanaprastha, brahmacharis, should never associate with women by glancing, touching, joking, or sporting, or to speak of actually engaging in sex life. The brahmachari must be very clean, always washing their hands, bathing, performing religious ceremonies at sunrise, noon, and sunset, visiting the holy places, chanting japa, avoiding that which is untouchable, avoiding that which is uneatable, and avoiding that which should not be discussed, always remembering me. These are principles to be followed by all varanas. Thus, the brahmachari of observing the vow of celibacy becomes brilliant like fire, and by serious austerities, not ha-ha, hoo-hoo, burns to ashes all propensity to perform materialistic activity, like basketball. Free from the contamination of material desire, that person becomes my devotee. Therefore, brahmachari, after his Vedic study, if he desires to marry, he should approach the guru, not fishing for himself. If you want to get married, one should take permission from the guru. Then the guru, he is the expert, he will give permission, blessing for the marriage, then one should enter the... He should cut his hair, put on proper clothes, and then taking permission from guru, he should marry. There are two types of brahmachari. One has no material desires, he'll go on to take sannyas. And the brahmachari desiring to fulfill his material desires, it's not illegal to have material desires as a brahmachari. But if you want to engage in material desires, you take permission from the guru. Subal hearing. Take permission from Gurudev before fishing for yourself. Like Rohini Nandan in Costa Rica, he's going to get married. He asked me not to tell anyone. But Guru Maharaj personally said, if you want to get married, I know three times Guru Maharaj offered him red cloth. He said, Gurudev, I think I should not take red cloth. I think I'm not fit. Then Guru Maharaj was very happy. He said, yes, if you want to marry, you have my full blessings for marriage. If you want to get married, I want you to approach the spiritual master for his blessing. Not just I pop off and do anything I like, you know. Therefore, Guru Maharaj can tolerate anything. He cannot tolerate brahmacharis who act independently. Therefore, when the spiritual master gives red cloth, that means you've taken a vow before him, you will never marry. Then Guru Maharaj says the brahmachari takes off red cloth is a great offense to the feet of Srila Saraswati Thakur. Don't do it. Therefore, if you can't think you can follow the vow of red cloth, then don't take it. Do yourself a favor. So, therefore, a brahmachari who desires to fulfill his material desires, that time he should accept the blessing from the Guru and enter. And therefore, he should progress from one ashram to another in a proper way. So, Krishna gives discussion of a brahmana, a vaishya, and now a grihastha. Some say grihastha ashram is the best ashram of all because from the grihastha ashram one can engage in service to all the Vaishnavas. Therefore, one in the grihastha order of life, Krishna gives instructions. One should worship the sages by Vedic study daily. One should serve all living entities by offering of foodstuffs. It's not that I'm just in there cooking and my family members and I are eating. The grihastha should see if any guest, anyone needs prasadam. Thus the grihastha should serve all living entities by offering shares of one's meals and by offering grains and water to others, giving charity. One should daily perform this. A householder should comfortably maintain his dependence either with money which comes automatically or that by which is gathered by honest execution of one's duties. Srila Thakur Bhaktivinoda in Satobrati means if you're a brahmachari, one should maintain properly as a brahmachari by begging. One should not perform any business if one is a brahmachari. And if one is a grihastha, one should maintain oneself in the proper manner. One time, Bhaktidant Muni Maharaj, who took sannyas with Srila Prabhupada, he was a great businessman, Sanatan Prabhu. He bought the Devananda Gaudiya Math. He went to Param Gurudev and said, I think we should open a soap factory. The brahmacharis can produce soap. We'll sell the soap and by this we'll maintain our lives. That time Param Gurudev said, no, a brahmachari must not perform business. A brahmachari has the right to maintain themselves by begging. But who should he beg for? He's begging in behalf of Guru Gauranga and sticking in his pocket. This is not good. If you don't think I will go around collecting money and selling books, why don't you think I'm going around begging on behalf of the spiritual master? Everything you collect, you give to Gurudev. Why sticking in your own pocket? That is full of sin. Therefore, whenever Guru Maharaj comes, the sannyasi, always, isn't it, whenever we go, we always give all our donation to Gurudev, everything. Then Guru Maharaj, without fail, Guru Maharaj always says, you need everything. Yes, Guru Maharaj, I need 5,000 bucks. Can you give it back? Therefore, the brahmachari must collect everything and offer everything to the spiritual master. And then the spiritual master will ask you if you have any requisites, he will give back. Not I'm collecting everything, stick in my pocket. And I got a few bucks at the end of my collection, I stick that in Gurudev's pocket. A big wad of $1 note, so it looks like I'm giving a big stack. One time Gurudev went collecting with Puja partner Sringa Maharaj. And they collected 150 rupees. Guru Maharaj said, at that time 150 rupees was like a fortune. When they came back, Param Gurudev asked Gurudev how much you collected. He said, we collected 150 rupees. That time the Sringa Maharaj came, he gave Param Gurudev 135 rupees. So Param Gurudev said, the rest of the money, where did it come from? The rest of the collection, where is it? That time the Sringa Maharaj, Pujapad, was a godbrother of Param Gurudev, therefore. He became angry. He took it and he threw it on the ground. And some argument was there. Oh, how I'll maintain. I have to pay for transport, food, this, that. How I can maintain if you are taking everything? Then Param Gurudev, so humbly, he picked up each last coin. Then he gave the 15 rupees back. Then the Singh Maharaj was very much, why you did that? Isn't it? Better you just let me keep the money. Pamgiri said, no, you don't understand. This money is poison. It's full of material desires, the people who are giving it. Therefore, you have no qualification to digest that poison, but I can digest. And therefore, that money is now purified, I am giving to you. We can take lesson from that. So, therefore, Krishna giving instructions on the Grihastha life. If one has no good fortune to come from a rich family, that time he maintains himself in a proper way. So, according to one's means, one should perform some religious ceremonies and worship of the Lord. A householder must take care of dependent members of the family, but should be careful not to become materially attached to them, nor should he become mentally unbalanced, considering himself to be the Lord and enjoyer. An intelligent householder understands that all possible future happiness is temporary, like a dream. Thus, he should live in his own house like a guest, understanding the children and family members are also like travelers who have met in an inn. He must not become attached. As a householder who worships me by execution of his family duties may remain at home, he may go to a holy place, or if he likes, he may take sannyas if he has a responsible son. Therefore, for a liberated householder, it doesn't matter. Grihe vayavanita taki ha guranga bole daki. If he stays at home or goes to the forest, it's all the same for him. Therefore, there is a difference between a grihastha and a grihamedi. A grihamedi is one who stays at home, considering material enjoyment to be the goal of life. But a grihastha is one of the ashrams who considers their house to be an ashram, a spiritual shelter, that is a real grihastha. Therefore, Krishna also went and showed the activities of ideal grihastha and his pastimes. But one should not become attached, right? Even if I'm a sannyasi, but Guru Maharaj one time said, even if I'm a sannyasi, but I'm thinking, this is my temple, my room, my box, my wealth, my bank account. Then what's the difference between that so-called sannyasi and a so-called grihastha? There's no difference whatsoever. If he's thinking that the people in the temple are mine, the temple is mine, the wealth of the temple is mine, then useless. What's the use of taking sannyas or brahmachari if you don't do bhajan? That is completely useless activity. Therefore, a householder, what to speak of sannyasi, should not become attached in any way. One should not think everything is mine and I am the lord of everything. One should also not think, oh, my poor elderly parents have no one to protect them. My wife has a small child. Alas, if I am not here, who will save them? One should not think like this. Because of the foolish mentality, the attached householder, whose heart is overwhelmed by family attachment, that person is never satisfied, constantly meditating on his relatives. He either dies, so he dies and goes to hell. Hell is planetski. Therefore, Krishna continues. Quickly, we'll finish this. The last orders of life, the orders of vanaprast and sannyas. O Uddhav, one who desires to enter the third system of life, should enter the forest with a peaceful mind, leaving his wife and mature sons alone. Ready, Rishabdev? Prabhu, Rishabdev should arrange one's sustenance by eating uncontaminated bulbs, fruits, roots that grow in the forest. One may dress oneself with bark, grass, leaves, or animal skins. A nose dirty is okay. A vanaprast should not groom the hair or face very nicely. Vijay, where's your beard? Don't have one yet. One should not spend all day manicuring the nails. One should not pass stool or urine at irregular times. One should take bath 3 times daily, and one should sleep on the ground. The vanaprast should execute severe austerities in the summer, And in the winter, one should not eat cooked foodstuffs. One must eat fruits only ripened naturally. One should not grind any food. One should grind the food in one's teeth. There, I mean, the essence of life, one should become detached from the bad habits he may have collected during his stay in the Grihastha ashram. The saintly vanaprast must practice severe austerities, accepting only the bare necessities of life. He should become skin and bones. We should send a copy of this to Bhagavat Prabhu. The vanaprast, if he is overtaken by old age, he should leave up his body in the fire. Thus, worship me according to scriptural regulations. One should go back to Godhead. At that time, all the demigods become envious of such a vanaprast. Oh, this man will soon take sannyas and pass us by going back to Godhead. In this way, the demigods create stumbling blocks on the path of a sannyasi by appearing before him in the shape of former wife or other women or attractive objects. The sannyas should be disinterested in the activities of the demigods. Then the activities of sannyas, which we skipped over the other day. The sannyas desires to wear anything. He should only wear a kopan. He may use other cloth around his waist or hips to cover the kopan. Otherwise, he should not accept anything except his danda and water pot, except in times of emergency. The sadhu, the sannyasi, everywhere he walks, should see there are no insects on the ground. He should drink water only after filtering it, bizzlery water. He should only perform activities in his mind that he is considered to be pure. Sannyas, one who has not controlled the activities of body, mind, and speech should avoid sannyas. One should not stay in homes that are rejectable and polluted. One should obtain by begging from seven houses and eat only that. Taking the food that he has gathered through begging, the sannyas should leave a populated area and go to a reservoir of water in a secluded place. Having taken bath, one should distribute the foodstuffs to others who may request it. I felt guilty last night. I was having a cheese sandwich and Subal was there next to me. Subal asked me, "You don't feel guilty eating that cheese sandwich in front of me?" I said, "No," and ate it. So Subal was right. This is not ideal behavior of sannyas. He must distribute portions of food to others who may deserve it or request it. One should not speak. One should not leave remnants on the plate for anyone else. Don't worry, I never do that. Therefore, one without any material attachment, with senses fully controlled, that sannyasi should travel about the earth alone. Having equal vision everywhere, one must be steady on the spiritual platform. Thus, controlling the five senses, that sadhu must experience spiritual bliss. He should travel to sanctified places. One should enter the cities, towns, and pasturing grounds and approach ordinary persons only to beg sustenance. So, Krishna gives description of the Varnashram and finally the Paramahamsa stage. But no need to go into that because none of us are Paramahamsas. The sannyasi of any time cannot obtain proper food, like cheese sandwiches. One must not become depressed. One attains sumptuous food, one should not rejoice. Being fixed in one determination, one should understand good food and bad food to be the mercy of the Lord. Thus, one should approach the stage of liberation. One, the sad sannyasi, should accept the food, clothing, and bedding, be they of excellent standard or inferior quality, which comes automatically without desire. Therefore, one who is detached from sense gratification, knowing its result to be miserable, and one who desires spiritual perfection, should approach a bona fide spiritual master. Until a devotee has realized spiritual knowledge, he should continue to render service to the spiritual master with great faith and attachment. That spiritual master is none different than me. Therefore, the main religious duties of a sannyasi are equanimity and non-violence. In Miami, I had a good chance. I asked Gurudev, Gurudev, wherever we go, there's always some argument. Some are telling me this is true. The other group are telling me this is true. Unfortunately, I never have any idea who is lying or who is telling the truth. If I don't know who is telling the truth and how I can act in such a situation, there's always something happening. Then Guru Maharaj said, you should not be involved in any of this. You just be have one concern in your life, my bhajan is okay or not. Therefore, the main religious duty of a sannyasi is equanimity and non-violence. The main responsibility of vanaprast is austerity and philosophical understanding. The main duty of a householder is to give shelter to other living entities and perform sacrifice of chanting. And the main duty of a brahmachari vijay is what? Service to the spiritual master. A householder may engage in sex life only the proper time for the purpose of procreating children. Otherwise, the householder should remain in celibacy. Grihastha ashram is not a blank check to engage in as sex life as you like. Saraswati Thakur said, if I could have produced children, God-conscious children, I would have sex thousands of times. But because it's very difficult in Kali Yuga, I don't bother. Therefore, we are not against sex life. Srila Gogama said, I pass stool six times. I pass him and stool, he said. Six times I have six children. Therefore, if you're going to be Grihastha, do it properly. Everything is difficult in Kali Yuga. If you think that's difficult to only have sex life or children, but Kali Yuga, everything is difficult. To be a Grihastha is difficult. To be a Brahmachari is difficult. To be sannyasi is also difficult. Nothing is easy. Therefore, Krishna says, finally in conclusion, those who are followers of the Vanashramic system accept my instructions of proper conduct. When such Vanashram duties are dedicated to me in loving service, this Vanashram system awards perfection of life. Therefore, such persons who follow this Vanashram system, perfectly engaged in their prescribed duty, can come back to me, the Supreme Lord. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran Ki Jai. All of you about to leave your bodies and go back to Godhead. Mahaprasadam Ki Jai. Go Premanandi. See how.